One of the qualities of the Jewish people is that they never cover over the sins and failings of their great heroes. We know all about George Washington cutting down the cherry tree, or, you know, but what about his life, you know? Because they know that the greatness comes from God. So we have this rather unsavory story about Abraham, which will continues to this day. And then there's the story of David committing adultery and so forth, you see. You see, we call this book Genesis. Genesis means origin, right? This is the origin of everything. So you see, yesterday we had, you see, Sarah had no children. She had an Egyptian hand. That's the one for today. That's what I thought. Did I read the wrong gospel?
No.
Fine. Abram's wife Sarai had borne him no children. We know that. But Abraham had, at this point, had already had, this is chapter 16, chapter 15, he has this solemn promise from God. Go out and count those stars. Thus will your posterity be, and it's true. We're all children of Abraham. But Sarah, looking for the quick fix, says, you know, take my servant Hagar, have children by her. Now again, we know from the documents we've been able to dig up that that was also part of the law and custom of the day. If a woman had no children, her husband had relations with her maid, and she counted those as her children. Remember how Abraham, when God promised him, I'm going to have you many children. And Abraham said to God, yes, I understand. It'll be my foreman, Eliezer. Because, again, the law was, no children, the foreman takes the property. And so God says, not that one, you. Now, Sarah pulls the same stunt. She's not going to wait. You know, let me have this vicarious child. And so, this is where the mess begins. Why do we pay $4 a gallon at the gas station? Because Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. It's that simple. And that's what disobedience does. God promises, we say, yeah, yeah, I understand, God, but I'll help you out. I'll do it my way. And so all this misery happens. But here's the thing, see. God never withdraws his mercy. We do these things. And, Sheriff, we're talking about Adam and Sarah. So, you see this, I forgot you were here. This is meditation, you see. Like, don't do this. If God promises, believe him. Now, Abraham did, but then he wavered. But God never took away that he counted that faith as righteousness. He could have said, okay, you're finished. I'll find somebody else to be the root and source of all my people throughout the ages. But he didn't. He is faithful. So we have this, you know, story. And then finally, Hagar runs away. The angel finds her. And he says, go back, you see, and be subject to Sarah. Submit to her abusive treatment. Isn't this a mystery? You know. And why would she be so abusive? And she's the source of why Hagar's children and Sarah's children are fighting to this day. She should have said, Hagar, I repent. You know, it was my idea to have you sleep with my husband because I didn't have the faith to wait, and I pushed him, and he didn't have the faith to wait. And this is Abraham, our father in faith. Do you see how when we are aware of God and who he really is, we don't have to touch up anything? If I've sinned, I've sinned. Period. And so that's how that story goes. These are Genesis, origins, right? And so, I see what happened. They give me a short form and a long form. Now the gospel are the very last words of the Sermon on the Mount. And these are addressed to us. And this is not facultative, you know, this is not we can do this or not. This is the Lord. Love your enemies, do good, turn the other cheek, you know, give to those who ask. That's the law. Those are not sacred suggestions. You know, those are the words of the Son of God. And then, with that incredible creativity, even of his human mind, he comes up with this example. If you listen, in that part of the world, there's shale or rock right under the surface, maybe a foot and a half down. That's where you build your house. You clean that away, you build your house on that rock. Because if you build it on the sand, it's just going to disappear. Everybody knows that. And so you see, he first warns them, don't get dazzled by the gifts I give you to care for all my other children and to bring them to me. These are the gifts that Paul talks about. You know? And they're pretty remarkable. Did we not prophesy, drive out demons, do mighty deeds? You see? And Jesus says, I never heard of you. Why? Because we're not listening to Jesus. The razzle-dazzle, we're all for that. But the humility, forgiveness, you see, we're not for that. Give to those who ask. Don't turn your back on anybody. Jesus, the living, eternal Son of God, he must have got carried away when he said those things. He can't possibly mean that. He does. And the heroes among us, some of which didn't start too well, they all did it. They all did it. You know, I've told you this before, but it's so revelatory of our Lord. We have the gospel on one Sunday when we have the Luke cycle C. And it says, so no one can be my disciple, you see, unless he gets rid of everything he owns. And we have turned the page. Well, I'm driving up to the church up in St. Paul, and I'm praying. I said, Lord, look, I have to preach on this. You know, I can't duck it. You said it. Now, what does it mean? And with the kindest, clearest voice, He said, look, I know they have to feed their children. I know they have to pay their mortgage. I know all that. What I'm saying is, turn it over to me. Let me direct you. I'll direct you. I can show you how to use your will, your wealth according to my will. That's all I'm saying. If you don't do that, you're going to invest in your own self-will, your own whatever, and at best, you're going to waste your life. I could preach on that. That made so much sense, doesn't it? But you have to ask our Lord. You know, I'm dropping and saying, Lord, look, I just can't duck this. You know, if I don't preach, say anything about it, by the time they're out the door, they will have forgotten it and block it out. They're not going to pay, and that's your word. I can't do that. And so we have this text here, you see. So the occupational hazard, if you're very gifted, to take it to yourself and not be just a regular Sunday golfer, doing what the Lord tells you day by day, minute by minute, like everybody else. Because that's where it's at. So we have these two texts, oh my goodness, that we just heard. I'm going to stop. I'm over time. I forgot. But do you see how the Word of God is Word of God? You know, it's not an indoor sport. I mean, it's for real.